car, see you on TV. Sunset done changed ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hating, say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it.
All right, here we go. Congratulations are, in fact, in order. The RMU volleyball team, champions of the NEC.
Bravo. Now,
it's regular season champions so far, Josh.
You know what? I'm ready to start thinking the playoffs. See, anytime, you know what? Normally, I don't, when it comes to any kind of team, I don't think about playoffs. Like, let's say the Steelers, for example. I ain't focused on playoffs right now. I'm just hoping that they take each game as it comes, but this RMU, you can start thinking the playoffs.
Steelers got to win the game against the Browns tonight, but RMU has won every single conference game. But we begin the dig. Today is the 14th of November. Big weekend last weekend against Central Connecticut and St. Francis Brooklyn. This is the fourth edition of the dig. I am Austin Bechtold.
And I'm Josh Selzer.
And well, Josh, it has been a phenomenal season that was almost thrown a little curveball. November 8th. It was a Friday night, and it was almost a frightful night.
Oh, who doesn't love a good curveball every now and then, Austin?
Yeah, RMU taking on Central Connecticut at home, a team that has, you know, given them a little bit of trouble, took them to four at Central Connecticut.
We didn't even introduce ourselves.
Did introduce ourselves, Josh.
Oh yeah, we did.
Josh is having a very good day today. He said before the show we gotta have a lot of enthusiasm. We gotta have a good show today. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I'd like to point something out here, folks. If you've been paying any kind of attention to this RMU women's volleyball team, you'd be able to understand my hype today. Like, let me point this out here. Maybe you all will understand where I'm coming from here. 24-3 overall record, 14-0 in their conference.
Yep.
I've had high expectations, but again, we're gonna look at. Yeah, you're right. They were almost on a curveball. November 8th.
The match went five. Ended up being a 3-2 RMU victory. Colonials took the first two sets, 25-18, 25-23. But Josh, after that, the game got pretty close, pretty odd. RMU was playing a little off. Third set, 25-17 in Central Connecticut's favor. And the fourth set, 25-21 before RMU finally regrouped themselves, got themselves back in order for a fifth set win by the score of 15-8. Big game. I think, you know, we expected the match to go four sets.
Never did I think it would go five.
Well, even if it did go five, we didn't expect really, you know, a third set. What we thought would happen would be that RMU would win the first two sets and then, you know, experiment with the lineup a little bit. Now, this late into the season, do you really have to do that? No, but you also want to get other players in. But I think what really happened, you know, fifth set, just regroup, regain momentum, regain the focus of, okay, we don't want to lose a regular season championship. We don't want to lose our undefeated record at home, especially, which, you know, would have been, you know, it just would have been a little blemish on this team's record because the season's just been phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if they had lost last Friday night, it would have added that much more of a demoralizing aspect where, you know, obviously the UPMC Event Center, what a great atmosphere, and I think if RMU had lost, thank God they didn't, but if they had lost, it would have opened other teams' eyes up as to, okay, maybe this team's not as good as we think, you know.
Well, I think that it would just show that they are beatable.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
100%. I think that's most of what it would have been, but the Colonials won, and it was a record-setting night at that. With the Colonials winning their first NEC regular season crown since 2008. 2008, 11 years ago. 11 years ago, big 2008. But it also, for Dale Starr, was the 300th win of his career.
Wow, congratulations, Starr.
Pretty great accomplishment there. But also,
probably deserves a pay raise, don't you think?
Yeah, he also became the winningest coach in program history.
Wow.
So this team, you know, this great season, everything is really coming together now. All the accolades, everything, just everything's clicking. Also, Emma Granger was phenomenal as always. After achieving a career single match highs and kills and consecutive outings in last week's games, Granger was better against Central Connecticut, matching the program's kill record with 26. She also had 8 blocks, 3 service aces, ended up with 33 total points, absolutely shattering the previous record of 29. How about that?
I'm amazed.
4 more points, not off by 1 or 2, 4 points. She got the record by.
Can I really say I'm surprised? No, really can't. I mean, you know, it's funny. We were sitting right behind her at the basketball game Tuesday night, and I swear I was honestly thinking about asking her, where does this talent for that you have in volleyball, where does, you know, first of all, I didn't even know if it was her.
Yeah, so, we don't necessarily know if that was her, but.
But if it had been her, I was seriously considering asking, where do you get this talent for volleyball? Like, did it just come naturally to you, or have you just had a strong work ethic throughout the years? I mean,
got to put in the work.
You got to put in the work, and it seems like it's been paying off over the years.
Yeah, so let's look at the other stats from the match. You know, a Central Connecticut team that, I mean, overall 12-13 on the year, 8-5 in NEC play. So, I mean, not necessarily the team that you would think would give the Colonials trouble, but, you know, they did. Alyssa Hudak, 13 kills, 1 block. Maria Alfano, 12 kills, 6 blocks. Second on the team behind Granger, who had 8. And Emily Devlin had 6 kills and 4 blocks on the match.
And then we look at assists. Megan Cannon, 43 assists, Austin. Yeah. And then Whitney Brown was second in assists with 12. Nicolette Zanulli was third with 3. And then Lauren Kolinick with 2 assists. And then we'll look at digs. Nicolette Zanulli led with 20 digs. Lauren Kolinick with 19. Erica Wilt with 17. And Elena Carmody with 11. So, again, as we've mentioned before, all around, you know, group win, team win, everybody contributed. And then we look at some team statistics. RMU led the way in kills with 66 compared to Central Connecticut's 52. RMU won the errors bet. Like, not, they didn't, they made less errors.
Errors was close, 26-25, yeah. Central Connecticut having one more.
Total attack attempts, RMU led with 180 compared to Central Connecticut's 177.
But Josh, look at the hitting percentage here. Look at the lopsided amount.
I was just about to say that, Austin. Thank you for pointing that out. 0.228 for RMU and 0.147 for Central Connecticut.
23% compared to 18, or compared to 15.
That's,
how about that?
That's it, Chief. And then you have points, 84 for RMU, 65 for Central Connecticut. So not really much of a close match there. Assists, RMU led with 62 compared to Central Connecticut's 52. Aces, they were tied with 4 each. And then blocks, RMU led with 14 compared to Central Connecticut's 9. So in maybe a few areas of the game, it seemed like it was close, but RMU led the way in most of those categories. But I'm telling you what, considering the fact that it went 5 sets, I never would have thought that it was, like, looking at, like, team statistics, does it really say that it was that close of a match?
Well, the stats don't necessarily show that it was, but I think that some of the stats, not really skewed, but 25-18 win in the first set, then Central Connecticut won 25-17, so it in the third set, it was back and forth at times. The stats don't really tell the story. I think it was a closer match.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, going 5, which the Colonials just have not gone this season in NEC play. I think, obviously, it was a closer match. But I think, yeah, do the stats tell a story?
Absolutely.
The stats tell the story that, you know, RMU basically, you know, they were the team leading the way. And, you know, a couple mixed steps. You know, the errors were pretty similar. I wouldn't say playing down your opponent, but playing similar, you know, at times on the same level with the amount of errors. So I look at it and I just think, you know, I think the team just needs to regroup, resettle. There's been
absolutely.
There's just been
Well, they must have regrouped Oh, sorry to interrupt, Austin. But it looks like they did regroup because November 9th, they were able to come out with a 3-0 win against St. Francis Brooklyn. RMU taking the first set, 25-13. Wow. Then they took the second set, 25-19, and then they go on to win the third set, 25-16. So looks like RMU was able to rebound quite well after being almost – being upset by Central Connecticut. What are your thoughts on that, Austin?
Yeah, St. Francis Brooklyn, not a very good team. RMU went there and won 3-0 pretty easily. Really. Very small gym. I remember watching highlights
of the game. You've seen their gym before?
I remember watching highlights of the game at St. Francis Brooklyn, and just their gym is just so small. Looks like a grade school gym.
I have to look it up on the internet.
You'll have to look it up. But, yeah, RMU completely dominating the match, as you said. Against the St. Francis Brooklyn team, you know, 13-17 overall, 6-9 in NEC play. Just, you know, an average team that can't really put up with the talent that the Colonials have. Like you said, Josh, it's just another sweep, another good win, and it was a bounce-back win because the Colonials, I wouldn't say they kind of needed it, but, you know, games in the past to begin November, there's been no sweeps except this one against St. Francis Brooklyn. Bryant went 4 at home. St. Francis, or Sacred Heart, the next day, went 4 at home. And then Central Connecticut, November 8th, as we mentioned, was a 3-2 win in 5. And then before St. Francis Brooklyn, the next day, was a 3-0 win. So I look at it and I say, are they tired? Or is the competition just getting, you know, is the other teams improving? I think, you know, just take a little break mentally, you know, regroup yourselves. I don't think that, you know, this is something to necessarily be concerned about, but it is something to look at and say, you know, they are dropping a couple sets. What's going on here? Is it, you know, they're putting their depth in a lot. You know, Colonials are playing a lot of players. I think it'll be okay. And I know we'll talk more about the NEC tournament coming up. But
oh, that is a week from tomorrow.
It's coming up. I know that we'll talk about that. But yeah, let's go back to St. Francis Brooklyn. Colonials controlling the match. Overall, team statistics, kills was way in the Colonials' favor by 15, 46-31. Errors on the side of St. Francis Brooklyn, pretty young team, 17-13 was the score there. Total attacks were pretty even, 112-107 RMU's favor. Hitting percentage, though, again, not close. 30% for the Colonials compared to 13 for St. Francis Brooklyn. Points, also not close, 56-36.5. Assists, 40-29 in the Colonials' favor. Aces, 7-1. 7-1 in terms of aces.
I'm not surprised.
Aces
though.
Were pretty spread out. And then blocks. Actually, St. Francis Brooklyn was able to control the blocks, 4.5-3.
And then we'll look at individual statistics next. Excuse me. Emma Granger, she only had 12 kills this matchup.
Well, it was only 3 sets.
That is true. That is true.
They didn't have that many chances to be able to put the ball down.
Maybe she was, you know, maybe she was distributing, or she could have been letting other players do some work. Because Lauren Kalanick followed with 12 kills, Maria Alfano with 9 kills, and then Alyssa Hudak also had 9.
Granger also recorded 2 blocks and 1 ace, as well as Kalanick, the same stat line: 2 blocks and 1 ace.
And then we'll now look at assists. Megan Cannon led the way with 36 assists, and then Nicolette Zanoli was second with 3, and then Elena Carmody with 1, and that's assist. And then look at digs. Nicolette Zanoli led with 12 digs, and then second was Erica Wilt with 7, Megan Cannon with 7 as well, and then Elena Carmody was 6. So, you know, nothing really new there. You know, RMU, in my opinion, I would say this matchup against St. Francis Brooklyn, they used to kind of assert their dominance again. I'll be honest, maybe St. Francis Brooklyn looked at that matchup between Robert Morris and Central Connecticut and thought, wow, the RMU, maybe it's hard to stop them, but maybe there is a way. I think Robert Morris wanted to assert their dominance again. It sure looks like they did a good job of it. Austin.
Yeah, I definitely think that that was something that they were doing. The 14th conference win is the most of its kind. Most wins in conference play for the Colonials. tops the record of 13 victories in the 2010 and 2012 seasons. They also captured their 12th home win of the year, tying the 2003 team win in turn in NCAA, going into NCAA tournament play coming up. This was their last home game. But one thing I look at, some of the players that we mentioned, just how young the team is and how well that they've been able to play together. Alfano, junior. Megan Cannon, sophomore. Granger, junior. Hudak, sophomore. Oren Kalenic, redshirt sophomore. Carmody, freshman. Bunch of young players, bunch of good players. All that are going to be back for next season, looking to repeat the momentum and the success that they've been able to have this whole season.
My question to you, Austin, is it too early to start looking at, like, what happens when all these players leave? Do you think it's too early to discuss that a little bit?
I think it's way too early. We got to let's talk.
Well, you know what? Yeah, that's true. You know what? I'm sorry, folks. I need to focus on this season. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I apologize for that.
Yeah,
Josh. So, yeah, let's stay on this season here. So let's look at the upcoming matchups. Robert Morris, they will take on Fairleigh Dickinson tomorrow night, 6 p.m. in Teaneck, New Jersey. And then Saturday, they will take on Long Island at 3 p.m. in Brooklyn, New York. Two important NEC matchups to finish out the season. And then next week, a week from tomorrow and a week, and also Saturday as well, the NEC tournament.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned it. The NEC tournament hosted by your Robert Morris Colonials. The tournament will be November 22nd and November 23rd.
Oh, the tournament's here at RMU.
It'll be here. We're the top team. We're the top seed. We will host the tournament. The semifinals will be on Friday, with the final being Saturday. I would expect the Colonials to be playing both days. They definitely will be playing the first day.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would not think that any other team would beat them. So let's look at the NEC volleyball standings as they currently stand. Two teams, as of today, have clinched a berth in the NEC tournament. Robert Morris, 14-0 in NEC play, 24-3 overall. The only team with single-digit losses, only three overall in their games played. Sacred Heart is the number two seed so far in NEC. They are 11-3 in conference play, 16-11 overall. They're on a two-game winning streak. Pretty good home team, 8-2 overall, but on the road, more average 500 team, 6-5, 2-4 neutral site. Bryant and LIU round out the top four at the moment, with Central Connecticut still trying to hang on. They're 9-6 in conference play. LIU's 9-5. Bryant 10-4. Bryant more than likely will make the NEC tournament. They'll be down to Long Island in Central Connecticut, with LIU having to play Robert Morris in their last game of the year at home. They've won three in a row. It's going to be interesting to see who clinches the fourth spot. And, you know, Josh, who's going to make it to the semifinals? That's basically a battle to see who will play RMU on their RMU's home court.
Is it me, Austin, or does it look like these standings have changed a little bit? Because I don't recall, last time we've looked at these standings on the past few episodes, I don't recall seeing Sacred Heart and Bryant doing as well as it looks like they are now.
Well, I think Sacred Heart has been, I think Bryant, a little bit of a step up, but as we, you know, talked about earlier, Sacred Heart was one team that took a set from the Colonials at their home gym.
And so is Bryant, right, I assume?
Bryant did not. Central Connecticut, when they hosted RMU on October 18th, they took a set. They took the first set, actually, from the Colonials.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, so, but, I mean, I don't know, Austin. Looking at these standings now, looks like there's a lot closer of a race in the NEC. I mean, not too close, because, again, Robert Moore still any... their NEC record still stands at 14-0, and then Sacred Heart 11-3. So that's a three game difference right there. But again, I don't know. It just seems like the race has tightened up a little bit. There's 10 teams in this division, so I assume 8 will make playoffs. I don't know exactly how that works, but
I don't exactly know what it is either, but they're starting with the semifinals, so that's Final four. So there's two spots already claimed, two spots up for grabs.
All right, so that makes sense. So if there's four teams, it looks like it'll be Robert Morris, obviously, number one, Sacred Heart at two, Bryant at three, And I'm going to say Central Connecticut takes that spot from LIU.
Yeah, I agree. I think LIU, you know, are going to lose their home game to Robert Morris, and I just think that Central Connecticut's a better team. I think that they'll be able to hold on to win it. Now, going to take a look at LIU's coverage, who they're going to be playing. They got to play Robert Morris, that's for sure. But I think that, you know, just overall, Central Connecticut's the better team, and I think that somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to get themselves into the tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
And if they do, that might spell trouble for the Colonials, the only team to take them to five at their home gym.
Oh,
that could be something interesting to watch.
So, yeah, as much as I've been paying attention to this Robert Morris team, it may be good for me and you, Austin, to take a look at who claims that fourth spot in the NEC tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's something to think about right there. Let's say you know what? Let's play out a scenario here. Let's say Central Connecticut takes that fourth spot from LIU, and so that means you have Robert Morris at one, Sacred Heart at two, Bryan at three, and then Central Connecticut at four. So then you would have RMU and Central Connecticut, which that would be a very good game considering what just happened.
Yeah, the two matchups that LIU and Central Connecticut had. Central Connecticut and LIU played each other. Okay, they played the first game of the year at Central Connecticut. Central Connecticut lost in five sets. And then when they traveled to LIU on the 25th of October, they won 3-2. So teams are evenly matched. And they got to play Sacred Heart and Bryant in their final two games. They already played Sacred Heart, and they lost in three, or they lost in four, rather. That was yesterday. They still got to play Bryant, which if they lose to Bryant, not much of a chance that they get in.
So I'm going to say that that's going to...
Yeah, looking at the standings a little bit more closer, you could see, is it going to be possible for them to even sneak in there?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, but hey, that's their problem. They got to focus on getting in. We got Robert Morris standing at number one. So I think at this point, I think it's safe to say that RMU's clinched that number one spot.
Yep.
So easy. They'll have a hump. They'll play the semifinals here next Friday at a certain time to be determined. So, you know, but I'm not so, Austin, I'm going to be honest with you here. I'm not so quick to think that RMU's going to run away with. You know, when we first started this show, I originally thought, okay, RMU seems like they'll have it easy to win the NEC tournament. Now I'm not so looking at these standings. I'm not so quick to think that they're gonna win it with ease.
Yeah, only a couple missteps, couple games not being over as quickly as you would think. But I don't know. I think maybe the game's gonna be difficult. It's the tournament play. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, it's playoffs.
It's going to be more difficult, obviously, because other teams are going to be bringing it even more than they did in the regular season. But you also, as a team, got to be able to bring it as well. So you got to be able to, you know, match intensities, match the abilities, and especially when you're a more talented team and a more well-rounded team, you should be able to, you know, be able to have sustained success like you have been all season, transitioning it over to the playoffs. But let's look at the next two games ahead. Fairleigh Dickinson, Long Island, last two games of the season coming up next weekend. Fairleigh Dickinson, not good.
No.
Not good. No. 2-12 in NEC play. 3-25 overall. They are 2-10 on the road, 0-6 in neutral site, and 1-9 at home. They've won more games on the road than they have at home.
My Lord.
Not a very good team.
That's laughable.
Yeah, RMU should be able to take care of that pretty easily. Fairleigh Dickinson, the second-to-last team in conference play behind Merrimack, 0-14, 1-22 overall. Not a great transition to the NEC for Merrimack. Not very good. But let's take a look at Long Island, which will be, you know, a more competitive game. They are fighting for the final spot in the tournament. They're 9-5 in NEC play, 10-16 overall, but they've won three in a row.
Okay,
couple nice wins for LIU.
All right, so they're working at it.
Yeah, so they, you know, present a nice challenge for Robert Morris. I think that, you know, the Colonials will be able to handle them like they did at home 3-0. Scores in that matchup from October 12th. 25-22, 25-17, 25-21 at the UPMC Event Center. What is your prediction for this? Weekend coming up? And then next week we'll be able to talk about the NEC tournament. But what do you think happens this weekend?
This weekend, I'm going to say RMU takes a 3-0 sweep over Fairleigh Dickinson. Not really going to – I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I agree with that, a 3-0 sweep over
but
Fairleigh Dickinson.
We could be looking at a different matchup, RMU versus Long Island. Long Island, you have a team that's fighting to get into the NEC tournament. You know, they're going to be playing with emotion, drive. They will have an extra drive. And, you know, I do think Long Island is going to lose to Robert Morris, but I think it's going to take 5 sets for Robert Morris to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close too, Josh. I think it's going to be 4, though. I don't think that the game's going to be, you know, necessarily that close early. I think RMU is going to do pretty well with that, but I think they'll drop the 3rd set like they have in previous games. But I think that they'll regroup, win the 4th set, 25-22. It'll be close, but I think the Colonials will be able to, you know, bounce back, be able to get the win, and, you know, it'll be a good win. It'll be a good win for RMU. So, Josh, in these games, let's do the pass, set, kill. Who are your players to watch? Who's your one player to watch in the passing department?
I'm going to say Lauren Kolenick. You know, she definitely has an impact for the team. She's my one player to watch for both these matchups. You know, actually, and obviously Emma Granger too. You know, she'll have some impact. Those are my two players to watch for these two matchups.
Yeah, I'm going to go to two pretty good hitters on the team, Rhea Alfano and Alyssa Hudak. Know how to put the ball down. Game St. Francis, Brooklyn, 9 kills each. Had just been having, you know, really good seasons each. Hudak only a sophomore, Alfano only a junior, as we mentioned. Alfano being a middle, Hudak being an outside, you know, present a nice 1-2 punch outside of Granger where, you know, they're really the second, third options. And then Kolenick, there's so many different options on this team that, you know, it's really great to see. And I think, you know, in this matchup, get everyone going against Fairleigh Dickinson. You know, work on any type of offense as you can. It's really your last chance to work on anything necessary that you want to put together before the NEC tournament and try out anything out. And then Long Island, I think it's, you know, full speed ahead, all forces go. Go win the game. Get out of there with a victory.
Yeah.
Come back home. You don't have to go anywhere. You're playing at home for the NEC tournament.
And then after the NEC tournament is NCAA, but we're not going to think that far ahead. Obviously, I should know better, folks, than to think far ahead here. I thought I would have learned that lesson by now, but clearly I haven't.
But Josh, it's been, you know, pretty great though.
It has been great.
It's been a great season for the Colonials.
I think at this point, I'd rather start paying more attention to this volleyball team than I would my classes.
Well, you know what, Josh, it would not be that bad of an idea, but
no,
you know,
yep,
pretty great team.
Great
to see. And conference tournaments coming up, but two important games. Got to take care of business. End this NEC tournament. End this NEC regular season undefeated to get to the tournament.
Absolutely. Let's see it.
I like it, Josh. It's going to be pretty great to see.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to thank you for listening into The Dig. As always, I am Austin Bechtold.
And I'm Josh Selzer here.
Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you later.
And stay safe out there.
Stay safe. Go RMU Volleyball.